The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus moved about within Galilee. He did not wish to travel in Judea because the Jews were trying to kill him, but the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles was near. But when his brothers had gone up to the feast, he himself also went up, not openly, but as it were, in secret. Some of the inhabitants of Jerusalem said, "Is he not the one they're trying to kill? And look, he's speaking openly, and they say nothing to him. Could the authorities have realized that he is the Christ? But we know where he is from. When the Christ comes, no one will know where he is from." So Jesus cried out in the temple area as he was teaching and said, "You know me and also know where I am from, yet I did not come on my own. But the one who sent me, whom you do not know, is true. I know him because I am from him and he sent me." So they tried to arrest him, but no one laid a hand on him because his hour had not yet come. The Gospel of the Lord. Now the season of Lent is coming to a close. And as it does, the readings start to talk about Jesus' passion and death, and that's what you heard today. First reading was a prophecy. "He's obnoxious to us," they said. "Let's put him to a shameful death." And then the gospel here. They tried to arrest him and capture him, but his hour had not yet come. You know what's really interesting about that? Group of people try to arrest Jesus. He just walks away from them. That shows you something. That shows you Jesus is in charge of absolutely everything, including when he has his own suffering and death. Totally in charge. A little something to pray about, you know, during Holy Week and at the end of Lent. Picture this. You see Jesus suffering and dying on the cross? Understand this. There's only one way you put nails through Jesus' wrists and feet. He has to let you do that. You can't crucify God unless he lets you do that. Absolutely in charge of everything and for the greater good of us all. But that's the subject of a whole other homily. Today I want to talk about something different. Do you know why they killed Jesus? Scriptures tell us the reason. It says they killed Jesus, the scribes, the Pharisees, the chief priests, the elders of the people, out of the sin of envy. They were afraid that they were losing influence. They were afraid that they were losing support. They were angry that he exposed them as hypocrites, and they were envious. So that's what I want to talk about here today. The sin of envy is something almost nobody ever talks about, and it deserves our attention. So here's the first thing to understand about envy. Envy is not the same thing as jealousy. Do you know the difference? Jealousy is thing-centered. Envy is focused on a person. For example, let's pretend like John in your class, anybody here named John? Right? John in your class just won a trip to Hawaii. And you say, "Jag nabbit, I want to go to Hawaii. Good things never happen to me. Why can't I ever win a trip?" What's that about? A thing or a person? It's about a thing. That's jealousy. But if John in your class wins a trip to Hawaii and now you're cold and mean to John, that's not about a thing anymore. That's about a person. See the difference? Jealousy is about a thing. Envy is about a person. And you know, the funny thing is, envy is the only sin that was never any fun. It's the only sin that's not even any enjoyable. Thomas Aquinas says, envy is sadness at the good fortune of somebody else. So, are you guilty of envy? Let's find out. If somebody stands in front of a big group and makes a fool out of themselves, let's say they fall down and they fail, and you feel satisfaction inside upon seeing that, you might just be guilty of envy. If somebody loses Maybe they lose a game. Maybe they do bad on a test. And that makes you happy inside. You might just be guilty of envy. If somebody else has something good, maybe they got a new pair of shoes, maybe they want a trip to Hawaii, and it makes you feel sad, you might be guilty of envy. If somebody else has something good and then they suddenly lose it or it breaks, I don't know, maybe they have a brand new pair of shoes and they get all dirty, maybe they have a shiny new toy and it falls on the ground and splits into 100 pieces, and that makes you happy, you might just be guilty of envy. It's the most miserable sin of all, like I said. It's the only sin that was never even any fun. Like, for example, gluttony, right? At least that's fun, right? I can buy a dozen donuts and wolf them all down, and, you know, they taste good. But envy is the sin by which the only way you feel satisfied is when you make everybody else as miserable as yourself. It's absolutely horrible. And understand one more thing about envy. It's not a feeling, it's not an emotion. It has to be a free choice. A sin is never an emotion, a sin is never a feeling. So does it change the way you act? Then it's a sin. Does it change the way you speak? Then it's a sin. You can even choose to think about something, but it has to be a choice. And if you want to fight back against envy, I'm going to tell you the only way to do it. You have to deliberately practice gratitude. You have to deliberately be thankful. And don't be thankful in like a general way. Be thankful for specific things. For example, don't say like, you know, I'm thankful for like my freedom. I'm thankful for my opportunities. No, be specific. Say, you know what? I'm thankful that the year's coming to an end, that the weather's warming up, and there's more daylight in the sky. I was so sick of all that cold weather and darkness. Now that's specific. Say something like, I'm thankful God gave me two good eyes, two good ears, and a good head, and the opportunity to get an education, because a lot of people don't have that. That's specific. Say, I'm thankful that I got two good parents, I got a roof over my head, and I got something to eat for lunch today. That's specific. Gratitude kills envy. And envy kills gratitude, and you decide which one of those two lives. You decide who lives and who dies. So just a little thought for you here today as we draw closer to Holy Week. Kill envy with deliberate gratitude, with deliberate thankfulness. Do you know when you get to heaven, the only two things you're going to do for the rest of all eternity is praise God and thank God forever. And the more you can learn to be thankful right here on earth, the more right here on earth starts to feel like heaven. So let's do that now real quick, shall we? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.